Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All About Entrepreneurs. We're excited that you decided to tune in to the show today. Heard every weekday morning at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time and 6 a.m. Central Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. Well, we want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out. We want you to get ready to take lots of notes. We want you to go to another level in your life because it's all about entrepreneurs. Well, we have exciting guests who will come and teach you the strategies, the tips, the tools for you to be successful at life, at work, at school, and in your business. And now your host, the power coach, Lalisa, and the possibilities coach, Cassandra.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning, Coach, Power Coach Lalisa. How are you today?
I am great. How are you today?
I'm wonderful. Did you know I just found out that this week is Small Business Week? I didn't even realize it was here already. This is Small Business Week. It just popped up on my Google page this morning. That's excellent. Wow.
There are a lot of things going.
Yes, lots of things going on. I wanted to say real quick to business owners, remember, especially those that are new and upcoming, remember to have a success mindset. And here's a great quote. It says, "If you don't make things happen, things will happen to you," says Robert Collier. That's so true. It's so true. We've always got to stay in the position of being ready to make things happen. Wow. That's what it's all about.
That's a good quote, too, to remember. That's right. If you don't
Absolutely.
Make it happen, it'll happen to you. Wow. That's awesome. Yes.
So we've always got to take the offensive posture, I believe that is, always ready to, be ready. And even when it doesn't seem like anything's happening, at least if you're prepared, you've got some things written down, even if it makes some slight diversions or slight changes, at least you're in the posture of having something ready, even if it doesn't turn out quite the way you thought it would. But you're doing something in preparation for what you believe that you're moving towards. So that's pretty exciting.
That is very exciting. That is very exciting. And this being Small Business Week, so we celebrate all the small businesses here, all the entrepreneurs. We want to celebrate you this week. And look into your local chamber of commerces and on your state websites, and you can find out what is happening in your particular state or city. And if you can't find anything happening, you can go to the national website. There is something's happening in Washington, D.C. all week. Even, and you can maybe piggyback on that and do something in your city or your state. If you can't, that's how I am, Coach Cassandra. When I can't find something happening, I want to make it happen.
Come on now. Come on. That sounds just like this quote. I just read another one by Zig Ziglar. He says, "You were born to win, but to be a winner, you must plan to win, prepare to win, and expect to win." That's by Zig Ziglar. He's always got something awesome to say. And here's one more by Vince Lombardi. He says, "Winning is not a sometime thing. It's an all-time thing. You don't win once in a while. You don't do things right once in a while. You do them right all the time. Winning is a habit. Unfortunately, so is losing." That's by Vince Lombardi. Wow. Woo. My goodness.
We don't want to lose. We want to win, win, win. So that's a good way to look at it.
And it's a habit. That's what I like. It's a habit. Just like losing is a habit, so is winning. So we've got, even if things aren't going quite the way we think they are right now, we're in position to win. Even if it doesn't feel like we're winning, things aren't going our way, but you are posturing yourself to make it happen. And that's why I'm so excited about the guest we'll be bringing you on shortly. He's going to have some strategies on how to win, especially if you're a new business and you're trying to get off the ground. They absolutely have some winning strategies to help you be successful. And folks, that's what it's all about. We are here to inspire you, give you tips and tactics and strategies so you can power up and kick it, kick defeat, kick everything that is not beneficial to you, kick it out the way, whether it's a poor relationship, whether it's, someone that is not positive in your life. You have got to take the affirmative. You've got to take action to have the kind of life that you want to live, because, after all, we are creating the lives that we want, just like we decided we want to be on radio. We decided to have this kind of a life, to inspire folks. So, folks, if it is to be, yes, yes, it is up to me, completely, completely up to me. And so,
and there's the possibilities. There's a whole world of possibilities. Possibilities are limited by our own thinking. When we think we can't do it, guess what? We're right. We can't. But likewise, when we think we can, we're still right. So either way, whether we think we can or we think we can, we are absolutely right. Because whatever we tell the mind, conscious mind, is going to go into operation mode and produce whatever we're thinking. If so, we think we can't, mind is going to go into operation and start producing situations that will confirm that it can't be done. But if we say it can, the mind doesn't know any different. It's going to go into operation and produce whatever we're thinking. That's why the Word of God says that as a man thinketh, so is he. Because whatever we think, what our mind goes into operation to produce, to confirm what's already there. That's why we've been cautious to put only certain things into our mind. And if any thought, negative thought, gets planted there by some other means other than ourselves, we're supposed to take that thought captive, just like they do a criminal coming over the border. Take that thought captive and kick it out, lock it up, bury it, do whatever you have to do to get rid of it.
Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. And Maya Angelou says, success is liking yourself, liking what you do, and liking how you do it. I like that. And, you know, that makes sense. You know, you've got to like you before you, you know, go to the next thing and the next thing. You've got to like you. And here's
That's
another
good
one, Leah. Yes.
That's a good point about success. A woman who was at our event last year, she spoke at our conference that's coming up in August last year, and they asked the question, how do you define success? They were on a panel, and people from the audience were asking questions. And her answer was, and I thought it was so great, that was Beverly Carter. She said that she knows she's successful when she can define it for herself. So it's just like what you're saying, Maya Angelou was saying. Basically, what is success to you? Because if we try to go on someone else's success, that may be a good fit for them. But does it fit your life? You know?
Come on now.
It's not the same for everybody. Not everybody desires the same thing.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And Leah Iacocca says, you've got to say, I think that if I keep working at this and want it badly enough, I can have it. It's called perseverance. You've got to persevere to the next thing and the next thing. Yes.
Absolutely. That is so powerful. I heard a speaker. I don't remember his name, but he told me something that I'll never forget. He was speaking to us at a major conference. We were over in Puerto Rico, and he was one of the keynote speakers. We were there for one of the college success conferences for our youth. And this was, oh, my God, this had to be at least 12 years ago, somewhere around 2002. And he said something I'll never forget. And he said, he tells all his students this. He was a basketball coach at a high school in New Jersey for years and years. And this is what he would tell his players. He would tell them to say, I can, I will, I must. Those three little phrases.
All right.
I can. I will, I must.
I love that. I love it.
It was the affirmation. That became my daily affirmation. I can, I will, I must. When you want something bad enough, that's what you got to tell yourself.
You know, I love that. I love that. Because it's about believing it yourself before anybody else believes it. You've got to buy into that dream, that vision, that it is a possibility. And so if you don't have any other announcements, Coach, I'm going to go ahead and bring our guests on. Or did you have anything else that you wanted to add first?
The only other announcement is to let everyone know. Tell everybody you know the flyer will be out later today or tomorrow of our Power Up teleshow this month with the powerful motivational speaker, trainer, author, coach who goes all over the country, professional development, personal development, and Alethea Owens, two of the top speakers and motivators in the country, if not the world. You've got to tune in this month. Put it on your calendar. Send everyone you know a reminder. Power Up Teleshow. This month we only have two speakers because these individuals are so dynamic that we wanted to give them a little bit more time to really impart to us some empowerment, some motivation. Just like you hear Coach Cassandra and myself here talking, these are the people that we've also listened to that we know that they're going to bring you excellent top expert advice and suggestions. So get ready for May the 20th, I believe it's the 27th. It's a Tuesday. It's also the last Tuesday of the month. That's how you can remember what day. But, yeah, I'm driving, so I can't see the exact. So go right ahead with our guest. Good morning.
Yes. I'm so I got to talk to George Fraser last week, and he is really excited about coming on the show, folks. So you want to definitely be there with George Fraser, and that's our once-a-month teleshow in the evening. It's our evening show to motivate the country, so you definitely want to be there with George Fraser and his Fraser Net. Network. He wants to come in and empower our community, power the U.S., the United States. So we're looking forward to it. Yes. Okay, folks, I am so happy to introduce to some, and some of you may already know, Joseph Robnett, who is the co-founder of Direct Impact. It is a business incubator in St. Louis to help businesses get started. And that is the key to community stabilization. You know, those business incubators are so important. And Direct Impact St. Louis.org started in 2013. And I am so glad that the founder is here. And Joseph, welcome. Welcome to All About Entrepreneurs. How are you, sir?
I'm wonderful. I'm wonderful this morning. Thank you so much for having me on.
Yes, yes. And our other coach is LaLisa Williams.
Good morning.
Good morning, Rob. So honored to have you with us today.
Well, I'm just very honored that you are gracious enough to have me on your show. I'm very excited to be here. Let people know what's going on with Direct Impact, talk about business a little bit, and I can, I will, I must.
All right.
All right. We like that. Okay. Listen, yes, if you've got a small business, you definitely want to connect with DirectImpactSTL.org. DirectImpactSTL.org. And today our guest is Joseph Robnett, one of the co-founders. You want to tell us a little bit about what the focus of a small business incubator is, sir, for those that may not understand what that means?
Well, a business incubator is in place to facilitate the growth of business in a community. What we want to do is, or what we do is house businesses in an office environment and allow them to have additional help that they may not otherwise be able to afford when they step into a business. In addition to what they might not be able to afford, they get additional other benefits. When we look at that, they'll get consulting, they'll get training, technical support, and office support. When you look at the office support, we get free Wi-Fi. They get scanning, faxing, copying, printing, color printing, color copying. There's meeting rooms for training rooms if they need for people to come in. If they have to train people, or if we're giving training. So we provide a multitude of services on that end. And in addition to that, we give technical support. Well, what is technical support? A lot of times when people start out in a business, they need to develop their business just to reach the point to get a loan to expand or an investment. And so we provide the support necessary so that they can get a loan package done properly and guide them to a lender that would be more favorable to the type of business that they have, or if it's a more innovative technology type of organization, we try to package them in a different way to reach the local investment groups that are here in St. Louis. And then consulting, you know, we want people to come in as tenants and be successful so that they can graduate out of the incubator. In doing that, we need to have a hands-on approach to understand what they're doing, the kinds of decisions they're making, and then help guide them with our experience to get them where they should be successfully.
Awesome.
And finally, training. We'll bring support people to provide training in different areas, how to start a business and grow a business, how to do your financials, working with QuickBooks, social media, a lot of different kinds of things and basics, you know, like I said, financials, marketing, operations, things that people have to understand to run their businesses. A lot of times people just because someone is a chef doesn't mean they know how to run a restaurant.
All right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely correct. Wow. It sounds like you have a lot to offer. But let me ask you this. Say someone is just up and coming and they, you know, feel a little intimidated about this whole process and they're still maybe working on their business strategy or their business plan. Do you help folks before they're ready to actually maybe, become part of an incubator? Do you do some preliminary things to help up-and-coming entrepreneurs or people that have not actually, you know, technically started a business but is still in the planning stage? Can they reach out to you also?
Yes. We really have a two-step process to get into the incubator, and one of that is just, you know, a half an hour to an hour of sitting down and talking and understanding what someone is looking to provide in the community as a business owner. And in that process, you see where someone is and where they need to be. We have an application process, which is the second part of that. And so if they're at a point where they're not quite ready to be in the incubator, we can give them some advice and guidance, but also let them know where free resources are, some of the do-it-yourself type resources. We work with for-profits and not-for-profits, and so we can guide them to the people who can help them to grow their businesses to a point where they're ready to come into the incubator. And it's not so much how long you've been in business. There's several factors that determine it, and our application is somewhat lengthy because we really want to get to know who we're going to be who's going to be coming in to our incubator, and because we're going to have a close relationship for at least 18 to 24 months. So we want them to know us, and we want to know who they are in that sense. So yeah, they can come in, we can talk and give them some guidance. If they're not ready, we give them some steps to where they'll be ready, or if they're not interested, we're still wanting to help them be successful. So we try to point them in directions that may be helpful for them.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome that you're able to offer that. Folks, we're talking, if you've just tuned in, with Joseph Rabnett of DirectImpactSTL.org, DirectImpactSTL.org, which is a small business incubator right here in St. Louis, Missouri. What is your phone number? You have a contact number for folks to get a hold of you, Joseph?
Yes, the number is 314-791-2891. And we're in St. Anne, which is near the airport in St. Louis, and the address is 10263 St. Charles Rock Road, 63074. Not real far from where Northwest Plaza used to be. Northwest Crossings is what it is coming up now.
Right, right. Again, that phone number is 314-791-2891. That address was 10263 St. Charles Rock Road, zip code 63074. And St. Anne, which is part of the greater St. Louis area. And so we want you to get connected. Even if you haven't got your dream quite off the ground, they are able to offer you resources and help. And Coach LaLisa, gosh, they have so much to offer. It's just amazing what's in the community to help us get started.
Yes, and I was thinking, definitely sounds like a great service to offer, especially, you know, entrepreneurs who are just getting started or those who've been in business for a while but not been able to get their own place or, you know, get all those different services that are seem like they're offered under one roof. So I think that's really great. So I was just wanted to ask Robert, how did you get started in this particular business?
why did you choose, you know, this for your business, which is a business helping other business owners?
Well, there are two people involved with this organization, myself and Tracy Clark Jeffries. She was the SBA minority champion for 2012 at a national level. So she actually got to go to the White House and and be recognized for that from this region. So my background, both of us are originally from St. Louis. I go back, and you know, the question is, where did you go to school? I went to high school at Lutheran North High School here in St. Louis, a wonderful school. And my role took me through the Navy, and after I finished the Navy, in my time, I went to graduate school at Clark Atlanta University.
Okay.
Go Panthers.
Awesome.
And
wait a minute.
I'm sorry.
Hold on for 1 second. I got to stop you. You said the Navy. Now, where were you stationed? Well, not. I mean, you could have been stationed several places, but where was your? How long were you in? And or anything that you could share about the Navy? And thank you
well,
for your
Navy,
service.
I was blessed where my dad had been in the Navy, and I think he recognized the importance of getting his kids around. He would take us on trips to I see our relatives out of town almost every summer. And I think the Navy gave, well, he was an entrepreneur as well. It was, he had a chemical company here at Lincoln University and had not many minority chemical companies in St. Louis in the early 70s. So that was a good person for me to follow. I think it kind of gave us a broader look at the world, and I wanted to get more of that. And so that's what got me in the Navy, and I got to travel to various countries, Central America, South America, Europe, Middle East, and countries in Africa.
Awesome. Congratulations.
I actually was in dispersing, so I counted the money and took care of people's payroll and so forth.
Good for you.
So that's what I did in the Navy, and also went through the ROTC program. My undergraduate was in Jacksonville, Florida. My graduate degree is Clark Atlanta. Undergraduate was in business management, and graduate was in marketing.
Now let me ask you one more question since you went to Clark Atlanta. Are you familiar with a professor there, Dennis Kimbrough?
Yeah, very familiar with Dennis Kimbrough.
He's from New Jersey, and I love him. Oh, my God, that is so awesome.
Yeah, when I was down in Atlanta, I saw him quite at functions that he had and book signings that he was at and just at school when I would visit the school. He came right after I graduated. I was still connected to the school, so he's a very dynamic individual.
Dynamic, yes. Okay. Well, go ahead with your story. I just wanted to interject that.
Well, I had a couple of businesses, a printing and graphic design company, and then a staffing company that was bilingual, or multilingual is what it turned into be. We were primarily placing bilingual Hispanic speakers into the white-collar market in Atlanta. And then I took a job with the Small Business Development Center through the University of Georgia, and that's what really tuned me into helping people start businesses. And eventually I ran a economic development agency for the state that went around the state to set up business incubators and try to establish different kinds of industry around the state of Georgia. The change in the political climate happened there the way that it happened here in the early 2000s. And so our agency was defunded, and what I did then was to start a not-for-profit that went around the state to do training with churches to help them develop businesses through their churches and do training programs at different churches through the state of Georgia. And so carried that on. It led into some housing development on the construction and project management side as well. When the market dived in the housing area and the not-for-profit area in the late 2000s, it looked like a good time to come back here to St. Louis. My mom's older, and I look after her and an elderly uncle now as I work to develop this. So that's my story. I think my father's influence, Atlanta, and then the work that I engaged in helping people start businesses there led me to where I am here. And when I look at St. Louis, there's great need. The incubator sits in what's called an enterprise zone or a hub zone, the federal level, and that means it's a financially challenged area, but it also provides benefits to organizations or businesses that start in those areas. So it's a prime place to work and develop businesses.
I'm curious. I just wanted to ask you, Joseph, now do you have any rooms that you rent that the community could use to, say, do a workshop, a seminar, a conference? Do you have a facility, a room that holds at least, I don't know, 30 to 50 people?
Yes, in fact, we had a SBA function that we partnered with them at the end of the beginning of March, and they had 60 women business owners out, a few men as well, on how to contract with the government. We had people from the state, people local, and at the federal level, giving key information and things that you need to know to understand how to be a partner with the government to do business with them.
Awesome.
So
awesome.
Has that gotten, in your opinion, since you've been so closely working with small businesses and minority businesses, Robert, has that gotten any easier partnering with the government or what could say about that?
I'll say yes and no. They've worked to make the application process a little easier and workable, but I will say with budget cuts, it makes actually getting contracts more difficult and more competitive. It's a business in and of itself, and if you're not dedicated to making time, it's not just another client. It's another business that you undertake, and you have to get out and you have to meet people who make decisions. There are benefits to being a woman or minority or veteran business, especially in the location we're at, because those contracts are awarded primarily on a point system. And anytime a contract has a company, even as a subcontract included, that fits that, they get extra points.
Wow. So if you're going to subcontract with someone, let's just say you don't get the contract, but you try to get a subcontract with a business that has the contract. What it seems, I know for just some of the people that I've been around, it just seems like that information, like where is it? How do you know who has the contract? I mean, I know there is that website that I fully learned about,
a website where you can go and sort of see who has these contracts. But, you know, absent of that, how would a person, where would a person get started? Is it the SBA's website? Is it the Small Business Development Center? Is it their office or their website? What's the first step for a new entrepreneur?
Well, honestly, if you have a little bit of money to invest, well, there's a couple ways to go about it. There's a site called bidclerk.com, and what they do with the public and some private bids and contracts is they publish that information all in one place. It's like a clearinghouse, and you can sift through that to find out who's got what contracts or even which companies are competing for contracts before they're bid out. Also, we have what's called a PTAC, Procurement Training Assistance Center here, and they provide a service. It's a public service run through the University of Missouri. They provide a service that can assist you in finding out the information you need to be able to bid. And really the other part of that is you've got to be seen and keep your ear to the ground, meaning you've got to get out and network. You look at who's won contracts in the past and make yourself known to these companies. So that, you know, have your lunches, go where they are. If you see somebody that's giving a seminar or and they're part of that company, go to the seminar just to network and meet them. You know, networking will get you a lot further than anything else, and not just in government contracting, but in doing business, period. People like to work with people they like, people they can feel they can depend on, and if you can portray that when you're meeting someone and then follow through and create a reputation for yourself, that's going to go a long way.
Awesome. Well, if anyone else has a question for Robert, please just hit your number one key, and I will definitely bring you in to the studio where you can ask your question for Robert. He is our special guest this morning, and he is the owner, CEO, and of the company Impact.
Direct Impact.
And he also sees that he has a lot of information for entrepreneurs. He has an incubator where businesses can come and grow and operate and get trained and get help and resources that you need to be successful. So if you have a question for him, he's the guy. He knows about government contracts, and even if you wanted to go into the military, he could tell you the best way to do that. So, but, Robert, one of the reasons I asked about the Navy, I, too, was in the Navy, so whenever anyone mentions the word Navy, my little antennas go up, and I want to ask them a bunch of questions like, where were you stationed? Where did you do boot camp?
Yeah.
State rank and all that. But,
yeah. Boot camp in San Diego, and I spent most of the time out in Little Creek, Virginia.
Little Creek.
On a ship that was based in Little Creek.
Which one? I
the
was
USS
in
USS Harlan County.
Okay.
I was on the LFT. We were a Gator freighter.
Oh.
We carried Marines.
All right. Okay, Little Creek. Oh, yeah, I've been down there.
Okay.
But, yes, I was stationed in Oceana, NAS, Oceana, the big
base.
Okay. So we have fun. Yeah, I was with VF-101, the biggest shore-based squad the Navy had at that time. Back in the 80s, late 70s.
Okay.
So, yes, awesome. So, wonderful. So you have a lot of experience. Clark Atlanta University, that was a college I applied to, got accepted, but I didn't end up going. But I you know, still have their acceptance letter. Awesome, awesome. I was so looking forward to going to Atlanta. I love Atlanta.
Yeah. I had a wonderful time, you know, in business in Atlanta and just, you know, in life there. And there's a vibrance, and I see it actually on the innovative technology side in St. Louis, bubbling up here, that same type of vibrance.
Wonderful, wonderful. Awesome, awesome. Well, we have also, we do have from our associate co-host, Mr. Fred Brooks. Good morning, Coach Fred. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. I'm great. It's a wonderful morning. The weather is absolutely gorgeous. The sun is shining. The sky is blue, and God is in all of his glory. Good morning to the guests.
Amen.
Amen. Good morning to the guests. I hear you. Very accomplished. You've done some really great things. I had a question for you. Heard you say that you worked with the churches. I wanted to know, what was the direct impact following God? What impact has following God had on your pursuits and building business for Kingdom?
Well, I a major impact. I'll start that way. The Bible has many stories and direction, guidance that's provided, not just, you know, for day-to-day life, but we can look at it vocationally as well. And it helps us with understanding, I guess, direction. And a lot of times we can get pulled away from things or influences of the world that gets away from where our soul should be. And you can make decisions. I'll give an example. When I had a printing and graphic design company in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And starting out, you know, at one point we were the second largest minority-owned company in Atlanta, printing company in Atlanta. But
wow.
Starting out, it was very much a challenge. And during that time, we were approached to, we had very good, my co-owners, very good graphic designers. And they wanted us to, some people approached us to print fake IDs, passports, things like that. At $10,000 per run.
Wow.
Everybody in the business needed money badly. And one of the business partners approached me and said, you know, that's something we can, we know we can do. We can get in and out and make enough money for us to get over this hump. Without the grounding that you learn, it's easy to be tempted to make the kind of decision that practically makes sense.
Yes.
But not with spiritual practice.
Yes.
And so there are foundational things that you can learn through the Bible, and I've actually started some writing on that I haven't finished, that I think is relevant for us to be able to put into practical use as we do things day-to-day in business.
Wow.
Nice example, nice example. Is there a Christian based business value that is part of the foundation of your company that you stood on there? And what's that guiding principle for your company?
Integrity and perseverance. Those are, you know, the what God puts in our heart is to be true.
Mm-hmm.
True to him and true to everyone else, true to his children. And so integrity is something we have to stand on.
Wow.
And perseverance. We have to continue to go because we're going to go through things and we'll get formed. God forms us.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't allow that work to be finished,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, we can't complete what he formed us for.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the things that we stand on.
Mm-hmm.
And when I sit and talk to people, you can't always get it right off, but a lot of times you can pick up what people have in them, and those are things that we look for from our tenants as well.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Thank you for the answer to your question. As a coach, my normal natural follow-up to be would be to ask you, what did he form you for? Because you said what he formed us for. But you've done some good work. You've answered the question excellently. I'm sure there's a lot of business owners that needed to hear that this morning, that are struggling and wanted to and are considering doing things outside of their values or their core business principles that they put in place when they started just to make money. But, you know, you're telling them to persevere, keep your character, keep your integrity, and to hold on. And I think that's great. Someone needed to hear that today. So I applaud you for your work, and thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. That is a good example of standing by your true values and not wavering and not giving in for the sake, you know, of a dollar. Wow, that is awesome. That's, and I'm sure you got doubly blessed in business by doing it God's way.
Great story.
I tell you, this is good. You know, this is good. And thank you, Coach Fred and Coach Cassandra, for, you know, these powerful questions and giving our guests opportunity to share these business practices, especially now with so many people starting businesses today. I mean, everywhere we look, we see the rise of entrepreneurship because, you know, the economy was so bad. It was so bad that people's only real hope for getting income was to go out there and start a business. The economy could not bear all the jobs that people needed, okay? They're just, and more big businesses were cutting staff, and mid-sized businesses were cutting staff, and smaller businesses were going under. And so it really became important that people learn, you know, go back to the basics. You know, this country, the United States of America, was started on entrepreneurship. That's how we got to where we are. So basically it's one of the things, it's one of the core competencies that we know here in this country. We know how to start businesses. We know how to do that almost better than we know how to do anything else. We know how to start businesses. We know how to run them. We know how to grow them. And so when the economy was screaming that there were no jobs, we answered with, okay, well, let's train people how to create a job, not just to go look for a job, which took some doing because we spent the last 100 years building colleges and universities and schools to teach people how to go get a job, and we realized that, well, wait a minute, We forgot to teach people how to create a job. But it didn't take much. It didn't take much because we know how to do it. But anyway, go ahead, Robert.
No, I was just saying absolutely. I'm in agreement with you. We, you know, the lifeblood financially, economically, in communities is attached to their small business development. And when you look at how things have developed over the last 20 to 30 years in St. Louis, there's a dearth of businesses that are community connected. You've got scavengers, those types of business that try to wrest whatever's left of the community from the community. But we have to focus on how to develop and maintain the kinds of businesses that are beneficial in the community. We've got enough payday loan companies in our communities. We've got enough fast food places in our communities that aren't feeding us nutritional food. You know, but we need to look at and continue to work on creating and maintaining businesses that connect to our communities, that hire people from our communities, and that provide them with things that are beneficial to the people in the community. And, you know, not only do those businesses need to be supported, but organizations like ours also need that kind of support, because we have to continue to seed businesses, because not every business is going to be successful. But if we create a pipeline, then we start generating more and more business.
That's so good. Yeah, I would love to. I would love to see more manufacturing type businesses. Maybe not manufacturing some of the things that we really don't use, but I would imagine, and, you know, we still have vibrant, you know, communities and households. I would think there's a lot of things that are needed and being used, and so why can't we, you know, go back to being the manufacturer of some of these products and services right here in our so that we can provide more jobs, because not everybody wants to be an entrepreneur. And so there, you know, there is as well. Some people enjoy not having all of that responsibility and all of that detail and all of that strategic planning. And so I think there needs we should have more discussions at the federal level that is also passed down to the local levels on how we are going to bring back some of these manufacturers. I mean, if China can do it and Japan can do it, and many of our companies have, you know, been lost to these places, we need to work on, I think, bringing some of them back so we can put our people to work here in greater numbers.
Yeah, that's a true but complicated endeavor. It took a lot of work on all sides for someone to make dresses and tennis shoes in the Far East to be able to make them and ship them all the way back here for less than you can make a tennis shoe here. You know, for somebody to be able to sell a shoe because it was made and shipped from overseas for less than you can make a shoe for, and sell it here, and you can make it, you have to make it for more here.
But
it creates challenges that have to be undone.
And I'm wondering who's going to see these challenges, because at the price of some of shoes, pay less. You used to could go there and buy a shoe for $9, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Pay less. We're paying more at Payless. It should be called Pay More because we're not paying less anymore. Shoes cost more there, and they're like, I look at some of my students and I say to them, how much do those shoes cost? Some of these shoes that they are wearing are costing close to $200 a pair. When we were making the shoe here, my God, we were paying what, $19.99? You're paying $200. You're paying almost 100% more, some cases 300% more, if not 500% more. And so I'm just not sure how well the argument that because it can be made as such. Now, all that is saying is that somebody at the top is getting 500% more richer while the persons at the bottom are getting 500% more poor, and it's about to change. And so guess what I'm really saying is that there's about to be a mass change in this country, because the country cannot be a superpower if you have so much poverty. But anyway, that's just my little opinion.
Yeah, that's true. And if you don't create, you know, when they look at the minimum wage, if you don't create mm-hmm. buyers, then mm-hmm. you won't be able to sell.
Exactly. And we have buyers.
Well, you know, one point is we have to look at our culture as a nation. And if we look at Walmart as the place to go to shop, because it's, and I get it, everybody's on budget, so like I said, it's more complex. But if we're all shopping at Walmart, buying things from overseas, then we don't have a cycle to create jobs here other than the minimum type wage jobs that Walmart provides. Because
okay.
All of the things that we buy are coming from overseas, not from people here.
So then you got people going around trying to rob somebody so that they can't afford the Sean John suit or the Air Nikes. No, that's ridiculous. It's got to stop. Really got to stop. It's just crazy. You know, now you want to steal someone's car so that you could chop it up and sell it, possibly get, you know, $1,000 so that you can go and buy these higher, because them individuals, they don't want to go to Walmart. They want to go Rodeo Drive, you know, and shop. They want to go to Short Hills Mall. That's ridiculous. And so we got to stop pretending, and I believe that's one of the reasons that the nation put together the Wealth Gap Summit that in Washington, D.C. about a year ago, and we have some people that attended. I'm not sure if you attended, but I do have two family members that attended that event, who we're going to try to get one of them on the show to kind of share some of their notes. But it is time that we know what to do. We need to, how are we going to teach our children and teach our youth about being wise and smart and intelligent if we the adults continue to walk around with our head in the sand like we don't know what to do? Well, like, we just got to live with it. I think being an entrepreneur is also about coming up with innovative ideas, not innovative products to sell to the market. But anyway, that's just, you know, Coach and Louise. Y'all know how I do. But, not for you. Hey, Rob, Robert, not for you to solve all these issues overnight, but I think that people like yourself, other people, you know, with MBAs or degree, you know, who have, you have the ear of individuals, and, you know, I just think that, I think it's time that, you know, we really start to look at this in terms of how we can make this happen. Anyway, so Coach Cassandra or Coach Fred, go ahead.
Yes, I have a comment. Am I on?
I hear you.
Okay. I thought we were waiting for you. So you just made a comment about going forth, Coach, and building kingdom. So as we look at building kingdom, and we look at Christ and his disciples, most of his disciples, I believe, if not all of them, were independent businessmen. I believe that Christ has called us all to be entrepreneurs, because in entrepreneurship there is a power, and there's also an independence. And when you're independent and not beholden to any man, you can go out and be a disciple very freely, because you don't have any agenda or anyone you have to answer to. Christ calls us to be lenders, not the borrower. And he also, in the Bible, gives us power to create wealth. So why would those two things, if not for us to be an entrepreneur? So I think in building kingdom, he gives us this power to become an entrepreneur so that we can have a voice, like our guest today, and speak to the masses and speak to the people, disciple them not only in business, but disciple them in the and values of the kingdom.
Yeah, I'm in agreement. And, you know, even an entrepreneurial mindset and understanding there's a need to create additional income streams for your family or for your future, and looking at ways and avenues to do that prudently is important, because as we've seen over this last cycle in economics, in our economic history, jobs are going to come and go, but you have to have income streams to maintain in life and take care, provide for family.
Discussion, great discussion. Well, guess what? You won't believe it, but we're out of time. I don't know where the time goes. But thank you so much for direct impact. Thank you for coming on and inspiring us. I'm more inspired now than I ever was before to get this message to people about being an entrepreneur. I mean, I know we have the radio show all about entrepreneurs, and so we thank you for coming on and just, you know, sharing that, your wealth of knowledge and information and just getting to know you. So thank you so much for that, Mr. Robert. And definitely give us your contact information again, and we just like to remind everybody that we'll be back here tomorrow, the same time, same place. But how can we get in touch with you? I know you're on Facebook. That's one way. But what's the other ways we can contact Direct Impact?
Well, I appreciate you so much for having me here. It's been a blessing, not just the opportunity to talk to people, but to learn. The future guests that you have, George Frazier and Letitia Owens, wonderful people. You can reach me at 314-791-2891. And that's the Direct Impact Business Education Center. Our website is www.directimpactstl.org. Business plans, 501c3 assistance, any of the kinds of things that you need to get going in business, that's what we're here for.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you so much. So you have the contact information. That is so wonderful. Thank you again, Coach Cassandra, for, you know, bringing these awesome guests. Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Fred, for being here with us again today. Everyone, have an awesome, wonderful, super calvagilistic, ex-Vialidosis Day, baby. And we're still working on we're still working on a little program for you for that. But don't forget, if you haven't opened your social Christian network site, please do so at mycsn.org, My Christian Social Network. We're in partnership with the CEO and founder, Mr. David Knight. Definitely connect with him on Facebook. Awesome, powerful young man. Please connect with him. Sign up for your Christian Social Network page at mycsn.org. Don't forget, if you didn't do it yet, please do it today and make a comment. Friend me, friend Coach Cassandra, and others who tune into the show. We thank you. We appreciate you. And again, can't thank our special guest today. We can't thank you enough for coming on and sharing with us and being with us the whole time. Thank you so much. Much success to you and direct impact, and that you're making an impact. You really are making an impact, and that's got to really feel good. Business owners, entrepreneurs, and those of you who are tuned in today, we appreciate you, and we can't wait to have you back. Again, Coach Cassandra and Coach Fred, my partner coaches, awesome, and co-hosts for this awesome show. We appreciate everyone so much, and we love you. Yeah. We love you. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for sharing the flyer. Continue to share this show with others. You know, we're growing, we're expanding, and we're excited about that. And it's just been great. You never know where we may end up. You never know. You turn on your television, and we might be there because...
Absolutely.
Because Cassandra said, we are positioning ourselves because we're going to make it happen because we want to take control of our destiny. We're taking control of our future.
Yes, yes, we are positioning ourselves for greatness, and it's only because of the God that we serve. He is doing it. We are just following steps that he has placed before us. We are walking in those preordained steps he has before us, and I'm excited about it because he tells us if we will acknowledge him in all our ways, he will direct our paths. And I tell you, I like his direct path plan. It's awesome, absolutely awesome, and just so happy and excited about the things that are coming because David Knight is going to be joining us on Monday starting the end of the month, so I'm excited about that. He's going
awesome.
To be our social media person, and he's going to be doing something called Miracle Mondays. So I'm excited to hear more about that. That sounds exciting. He's always
super.
Up to something, and it's always good. So,
super.
Yes, we're looking forward to David Knight offering social media expertise is what he's going to be bringing to the table. So we're going to have more and more for you all to listen to, audience. So get ready, get on board. Woohoo! Let's make
going.
It happen.
All right, baby. All right, baby.
Have a super califragilistic STL and don't you say? Yes.
Woohoo!
That's right. There's no stopping you now. Well, thank you for tuning in to another segment of All About Entrepreneurs. Don't forget, stop by our website, www.blogtalkradio.com/allaboutentrepreneurs, and visit us on the web at www.releasefreedomradio.com.